at about 230,000. A World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Famer is dead.
He's not the first one that's been hurt. He's not going to be the last one. But he's the first one that Johnny Valiant and Brutus Beefcake hurt since we've been here. So there.
That's Luscious Johnny Valiant from a 1985 interview. He was struck by a car yesterday in Ross Township, Pennsylvania, while out taking a walk. The former professional wrestler, whose real name was Thomas Sullivan, taken to Allegheny General Hospital, but he was pronounced dead a short time later. And this is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
The 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. drew thousands of people to Memphis, Tennessee yesterday. The civil rights icon killed on April 4, 1968, while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. In Atlanta, Martin Luther King III attended a wreath-laying ceremony at the tomb of his father. Crowds also gathered at the MLK Memorial in Washington to pay their respects to Dr. King. The U.S. is reportedly getting ready to slap sanctions on Russian business leaders in connection to the Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. elections. Reports are that some close to Russian President Vladimir Putin could be among those affected. The sanctions could be announced before the week is over. The Trump administration's already placed sanctions on 19 people and 5 organizations last month. And actor Lou Diamond Phillips learning the consequences for his driving while intoxicated incident last November. The La Bamba actor had pleaded guilty. Reports are he had pulled up behind a patrol car to ask for directions to Flower Bluff, which is where he's from. The officer, noticing the actor, appeared intoxicated, and he ended up failing a breathalyzer test, resulting in a .20 level. A judge sentencing Phillips to 2 years probation, during which time he's not allowed to drink alcohol or enter a bar anywhere. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
Welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list. and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, as you know, we have visited with guests on this program who are leaders of both national and international companies. And one of the most sought-after yet elusive goals of most of them is how do you transform a product into an icon? It is one of the most challenging goals and clearly a mark of distinction. Well, that's exactly what today's guest and his very empowered team of associates have done. Ross Born is co-CEO of Just Born, one of America's top 10 manufacturers and producers of the iconic Marshmallow Peep, one of the top 10 candy manufacturers. Ross is a good friend and a previous guest several times on Legends of Success. We're so proud to bring him back because in 40-some minutes, we can never cover the entire story of our guests, and this is one that we definitely want to follow. Ross, welcome back to Legends of Success.
John, it's good being back.
Give an overview of Just Born so people can see a picture as your business exists today.
We started in 1923. My grandfather, who was an immigrant from the former Soviet Union, came to this country through Paris, where he had learned the candy trade and actually making French chocolates. That was what he learned in Paris on his way to the United States. When he got to this country, that's what he knew, and he opened up some small shops in New York, and he produced some candy in the back room and was in the candy business. That was in 1908, and he operated that for a period of time and then decided to focus not on retail but on manufacturing. And in 1923, he started the company Just Born Incorporated. And 2 years later, he asked his one brother-in-law to come in. And in 1926, he asked his second brother-in-law to come into the business. And the three of them really got the place started, making chocolate from scratch with the cocoa bean and doing all kinds of interesting products, a little of this and a little of that. They were operating out of a loft in New York, in Brooklyn. And in 1932, when his business grew, three of them decided that it was time to look for another place. Now, they went through the Depression. They weathered it.
I was going to ask, they were growing during the Depression. That's kind of an anomaly back then, wasn't it?
Well, it was a very small company. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it was small. The loft had about 1,600 square feet. So it wasn't a large manufacturing operation, but it was enough to provide for some of the candy needs in New York City. Mm-hmm. In those days, John, most companies were local. There were no interstate highways.
Sure.
There was no refrigeration to speak of, commercial refrigeration. And the technology to make products was such that the products were usually good for a week, maybe. So the shelf life stability wasn't there. And so you had many, many, many companies making candy in different locales.
Localized regions.
Very local.
Well, you know what's interesting, Ross, is I hear so often today people say, well, they did it then, but you could never start up a business today and be successful like they were in the old days. It was easier. I find it just the opposite. Because now, as you're saying, you've got highways, you've got infrastructures, you've got distribution, you've got internet. I think it was more challenging back then to actually create a company, am I correct, and build it?
Well, I think you can create a company no matter when you exist.
Right.
It's not hard to create a company. It's a little bit more challenging to have it survive and then thrive.
Let alone grow nationally.
And it's not easy, and we can talk a little bit about how difficult it is to grow a brand from nothing. So there's more challenges than meets the eye.
Sure. And then going back, I look at your grandfather as the founder, the creator generation.
Yes, he was a true entrepreneur.
Yes.
In the sense of he had a vision. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a manager of people and business. That's why he asked his two brothers-in-law to come in and manage.
And this is Irv and Jack Schaffer.
Yes.
Right.
My great uncles.
And what did they contribute that he wasn't? He was more the creative on the product side. They were the business.
Yes. They managers. Were the business side and the engineering, the talent, the technology side to some extent. Mm-hmm. And they understood a little bit more about running a business.
Now, eventually they moved in the Depression, I think you were alluding to. They ended up moving to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes, it was a factory that had been vacant, originally built as a printing factory. The Saturday Evening Post was published in Bethlehem in the early and mid-20s.
Sure.
And then the factory became a candy company from Philadelphia. That lasted only about a year or so, and then the Depression hit, and the building was basically vacant for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it was very fortuitous as to how my grandfather and his two brothers-in-law were able to save up enough to put a down payment on the building in 1932 at auction.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story.
And part of their growth was not only growing organically, but through acquisition.
They did grow by acquisition.
Yes.
There were many of these small local companies, and they would, over a period of time, they would kind of run out of steam or the owners wanted to get some dollars out, what have you. So what they would do is typically acquire maybe a customer list and some brands, but they were all local brands.
Sure.
Maybe the know-how, the technology for making that particular product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they built the business, very patiently and slowly and methodically, but they were able to build a business.
Yes, and create a foundation that was solid enough that could springboard and grow for future generations. One of the places they acquired, I believe, was making a novelty type of candy that has become your worldwide icon today. Am I correct?
Well, we have several brands that we really treasure.
Yes.
The brands that we have today that remain today, the oldest brand is Mike and Ike.
Mm-hmm.
Begun in 1940.
Right.
In a very small brand. It was one of we had a large portfolio of brands, a little of this and a little of that. We made all kinds of wonderful products. So Mike and Ike was just one of many.
Sure.
And then in 1950, Hot Tamales was created.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1953, there was a purchase. In fact, it's not far from where we are sitting.
Mm-hmm.
In Lancaster, there was a company that was making chocolate hollow mold products, primarily for Easter, the chocolate hollow mold bunnies and
sure.
rabbits and creations. And they made jelly beans, and they made some what they considered to be really terrific jelly beans for the region. They were noted for that. And in the back room, they were making a marshmallow novelty by hand called Peeps. It really wasn't a very big item.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather, his two brothers-in-law, and by that time my father was in the business, they looked at this business in Lancaster, which, by the way, occupied Milton Hershey's original factory.
You're kidding.
Milton Hershey did not start in Hershey. He started in Lancaster.
Right.
And the American Caramel Company was his. And then that was sold, that building was sold to these other folks. It was called the Rodda Candy Company, R-O-D-D-A.
Sure.
So they were making in the back room this marshmallow, and it intrigued the four leaders of the business.
Did they see something in this that Rodda Candy Company did not? Did they have a vision when they saw this and said, we can drive this product? Or was it something they didn't quite see yet? Because I know there's a lot of labor and energy to squeeze out these Peeps, but the product was unique, wasn't it?
The product was unique, and I think that the mark of a clever entrepreneur, and the four of them acted as clever entrepreneurs, they saw that this was something that no one else was making.
Right. Absolutely.
And that was important. And that's important in any business. Why look for something that's going to be directly competitive with somebody who's already established?
We're visiting today with Ross Born, co-CEO of Just Born, an international candy company with brands such as Mike and Ike, Hot Tamales, and 1.2 billion peeps a year, marshmallow peeps, that if you took that 1.2 billion, you could stretch them around the globe two times. When we come back, we're going to find out, how did this family business discover this peep and have a vision that no one had before and bring it into world-class iconic stature? I'm John Resnick, and we'll be back on Legends of Success right after this.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 6565 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 6565.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Our peep brand, John.
Yes.
I must tell you about the impressions.
Yes.
The impressions in the media. When we first started looking at peeps, we were doing about 200 million media impressions at Easter time. This past year, we had over 3 billion media impressions during the Easter window.
That's what
that is absolutely incredible.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're visiting today with Ross Born, co-CEO of the Just Born Candy Company, one of the top 10 manufacturers of candy in America. We're just talking, Ross. You were telling us the story of how your grandfather, your father as a young man, and your two uncles had acquired the Rada Candy Company in Lancaster, and this company was making in the back room a product that wasn't highly successful, but it was unique. It was the peep. My question is, did Rada Candy Company actually see the potential for this product, or did they not, and your family did? Because that's a true mark of a great entrepreneur, having a vision for a product that others can't see.
I think it was a combination of things. I think the four of them really, as a group entrepreneurial effort, saw that there was some opportunity for expanding peeps. But one of the things that really had to be done early on is to mechanize the production, because doing production with pastry bags and doing it by hand is not something that even in the 50s you wanted to continue doing, certainly not on a more mass marketed basis.
Sure.
And remember that we weren't a national company to any great extent back in those days, mm-hmm. because there was really no call for it. We really didn't have the wherewithal to ship product anywhere but in the region. By that time in the 50s, we were a regional company.
And how far was your territory when you say regional, Ross?
Well, it's certainly Philadelphia, New York, perhaps down to Washington, D.C., and there were some pockets of distribution in Ohio, perhaps, Pittsburgh, but we didn't really do a lot, maybe in Chicago a little bit, but it was very much of a regional company rather than a national company.
And back in those days, I'm sure there was a lot of door knocking, unlike the way you grow a business today.
A lot of times the product was delivered in the trunk of a car.
Yeah, sure.
It was very local. And the Peeps were, at that time, and up until not too long ago, about 8 or 10 years ago, Peeps was the chick shape for Easter. That was a Peep.
Well, you grew that brand, but before we get there and how you diversified that brand, I want to find out again, did your family have a vision that the Rada Candy Company didn't? In other words, they see this Peep and say, oh, we can really drive this product. The others missed that opportunity.
They believed that there was an opportunity. I'm not sure that they fully appreciated the opportunity.
Yes.
Because in those days, there weren't there wasn't a concentration of with the customers. There was no one major customer or two major customers.
Oh, right.
So there was a lot of small mom and pop shops. And the first large customer that we had in the late 50s was S.S. Kresge Stores, which turned into Kmart and for many years was our largest customer. But back in those days, the five and dime business was really where the Peep business was focused on.
Sure.
But it was really marshmallow novelties that it was focused on. And there's a distinction. And this is where we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of brand. We made a number of marshmallow items. We made the marshmallow Peeps. That was the chick shape.
Right.
We made marshmallow pumpkins, marshmallow trees, marshmallow hot dogs, and you get the message.
Sure.
It was all marshmallow. It was only in the mid-90s, and I will bring you fast up to the mid-90s, that there was a realization by some clever people in our marketing group that said, why don't we brand all of our marshmallow as Peeps? Because marshmallow is not a brand per se.
Sure.
Peeps was the only brand that we had, and that only represented the chick shape. So it's only been in the last 10 years or so that we've had this Peeps icon really develop.
Is that right? In the last decade itself?
It's not been that long.
And originally, it was mostly during Easter. That was probably accounted for, what, 20, 25% of your annual business around Easter, I would guess.
Well, of the marshmallow business,
yes.
95% of our business was Easter.
Oh.
And about 2.5% was Halloween, and about 2.5% was Christmas. So most of our Easter was marshmallow, and that's where the concentration was at Easter.
Sure. Now, in growing a brand, going back in history a little, your father had the ability, and your uncles and your grandfather, a unique ability to work together. When I say unique, there are millions of family-owned businesses, but not all of them have the ability to sustain and grow and work together. Now, we fast forward, I believe it was around 1978 or the early 80s, that you and David Schaffer joined, and today you continue to be co-CEOs. When did you originally join the family business, and what were your duties originally?
Well, David and I joined in 1978.
Right.
And as everybody in our organization knows, I have 5 days seniority on him.
All right. Does he call you Mr. Bourne?
No, but I'm afraid to ask him all the time what he calls me, but seriously, we get along. We're cousins. This is our 30th year in the business. When we started, we had no particular official responsibilities. We were just coming out of our formal education, and we're the same age.
I have had guests on once or twice that said, iconic guests who have said, that co-CEO thing doesn't work. I say there are no blanket rules. You're living proof that it works.
It works.
Because 5 years later, I believe, after you two joined, you took over leadership reins. Am I correct?
We were both the vice presidents, and we did that for another 9 years, and then we became co-presidents, and then we became co-CEOs. So it's a whole it's a progression. But in 1983, we took over the active managing of the business.
Okay, but it's unique. And not everybody can do it. What is the secret behind being co-CEOs and having that work so well? Because you're truly one of the functional teams out there, one of the best I've seen.
Well, I think it really has to do with our heritage. When you asked about how did the four, that's two generations getting along, yes. My grandfather, his two brothers-in-law, and the son, my dad, values. They understood the value of the business. And it wasn't, the business wasn't there for them. It was there for all of the stakeholders. And those values rubbed off on David and me. Because when we go into the business every day, we're working. We're not working to enhance our largesse of the family. This is important that the business is far larger than we are as families. So This is not our personal bank account. It's not our personal deal. We happen to own the business, yes, but the business has a culture, and we're responsible for a vision. We're responsible for strategy. We're responsible for alignment, and we value the business.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with Ross Born, co-CEO of Just Born, one of the top 10 candy manufacturers in America, with brands such as those Marshmallow Peeps. And by the way, talk about leveraging a brand. As busy as we all are today with our schedules, how in the world do they have 50,000 Peep Club members? I'm going to ask you that when we get back. 50,000.
70,000.
Oh, pardon me, sir. 70,000.
It went up.
People are busy. They don't have time to play around with Peeps, and you got 70,000. This is what I'm talking about with differentiation. How do they do it? They have a whole study that we're going to get into, and then we want to talk a little bit about family business. You're in a third generation. We're going to find out about succession planning, and then we're going to ask you some specific questions of what the secrets are and what your setbacks have been and how did you overcome them. Ross Born is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
National Guard troops could soon be on their way to the U.S.-Mexico border now that President Trump has signed a memorandum authorizing the deployment of Guard units to the southern border to assist the Border Patrol. Some Democrats, including Congressman John Garamendi of California, suggesting that this is a politically motivated move by President Trump.
That's not to say there isn't a problem, but there is a coincidence here of a tough midterm election coinciding with send troops to the border.
Yesterday at a White House briefing, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen saying,
border security is homeland security, which is national security. It's not a partisan issue.
The Air Force says an F-16 fighter jet pilot who crashed in Nevada and was killed yesterday was part of the elite Air Force Thunderbirds team. And this is USA Radio News.
Money, money, money. Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Telling their stories across America, from Maine to Hawaii, from Washington State to Florida. These are America's greatest success stories. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, visiting today with Ross Born, co-CEO of the Just Born Candy Company. Ross, I've been studying your industry, and I've noticed that leading indicator of leading companies, is that your growth appears to strongly outpace the growth of the industry as a whole. So my question to you is, what are the real key drivers that lead and grow a successful business, such as Just Born? What are you doing that's different?
Well, David and I have really been focused on a few things that we found to be part of our success, and it's all not rocket science. It's pretty simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a vision. You start out with that. You have to define who you are and what you think you should be.
Sure.
Straight out.
Mm-hmm.
Not long, but who you are and who you think you should be.
Right.
Then you have to balance what you want with what you're willing to risk. That's important. It's nice having pie in the sky, but if you're not willing to risk certain things, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to publish and communicate it to all. Associates, those are the folks, the employees, we call them associates in our operation, and to stakeholders. You have to define who your stakeholders are. So you communicate what your vision is to the folks that supply you, to the community, to your customers, to consumers. They're all stakeholders. Somehow you have to get that vision across. You got to get buy-in, and then you have to act the vision.
Let me interrupt you 1 second. You got to get buy-in, to me, would be the most key challenge of all these points. How do you get buy-in from someone who is an hourly worker on the employee? And I'm not demeaning hourly workers, but you have hourly workers to the CEO. How do you get buy-in from all associates, Ross?
Well, having just a vision isn't by itself going to do the going to do the job.
Sure.
What David and I created is a set of principles that we had actually been living by, and our fathers were living by, and our uncles for a long time, but it wasn't stated specifically, but it was how the business operated. You need a set of a philosophy statement, which we have, and really identifying what your core values are. You have to have core values.
Sure.
And that's going to support a culture. So you have to have the culture that supports the vision. You can't just have a vision out there by itself. You have to have some support mm-hmm. for the vision. You have to understand your core competencies. Now, our core competencies, we have two, major ones.
Mm-hmm.
One is established brands.
Absolutely.
And the second is wonderful people. All right? And if you have those two, those are our core competencies. They will help support the vision. You can't just have the vision by itself.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because human capital is so often undervalued in an organization.
And that's too bad.
It is too bad, isn't it? It's the most important asset a business really has. Without human capital, your brand is dead.
It's interesting. If anybody who's in a business, working in a business, owns a business, goes to that business when there's no one else there, it's awful dull.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing going on, and there's no action, there's no activity, and it's a void. It's hollow.
But you have somehow actualized the vision. You have somehow put your philosophy, which has some tremendous points, into action. This is a tremendous challenge. I mean, oftentimes they're the buzzwords, but you're doing it. How does Just Born actually do it to get all stakeholders, all employees, all associates on board and buy in with this vision and this opportunity?
Well, beyond the vision, there's a lot of talk about mission,
yes.
And it's important to have a mission. Where do you want to go, and how do you want to get there?
Yes. What is your mission?
We need to attain above-average profitability, and we're looking at significant growth. We talk about profitability. We mm-hmm. talk about growth, and we need to do that through superior leadership. And that's an important word, leadership.
Absolutely.
Not management. Yes, management needs to be, but we are speaking about leadership, and I'll get into the difference between management and leadership, which I think is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the job that the owners managing the business and leading the business have, making sure that everybody is on board, all the key people, is to focus our resources on the mission. You can't just talk about the mission, well, how are we going to do it, and not be able to provide the resources. That includes, that's the investment part, prudent investment, not just throwing money at an issue, mm-hmm. but prudent investment in our brands, in our people, and in the technology, which includes the facilities and the equipment.
Sure.
Because otherwise, if you have a grandiose vision of who you want to be and where you want to go with the mission, but you can't support it, then it's hollow. It rings hollow and you fail because people don't believe you. You're not believable.
So how do you actualize the support? How do you
put your money where your mouth is and you do it well?
Well, one of the things you've done, you can't invent more hours in a day, but one of the things you have done as a business, I recall, Ross, is you've invested quite heavily into automation. So you create more output per hour because you can't create more hours. Am I right?
We've invested in a lot of different things. Certainly our people with training and development mm-hmm. to continue that. We've invested in our brands and we've certainly invested in the technology. When our associates and stakeholders see that we're actually putting the words to action,
yes,
that we're actually putting prudent dollars, we haven't always been able to do that. Sometimes there are certain investments that don't pan out, so be it, and we go on. But the idea is that we focus our resources on the things that we say we're going to do. And when we do them, we have believability, we have credibility, and people join us. And they realize that we're serious about the business. And then they follow, and they're part of, and they buy in to the business.
So you walk the walk. You don't just talk the talk, as they say.
That's what we work on. Every day.
Let's take a quick break here, and when we get back, I want a couple specific examples, if you don't mind. And then we want to talk about the biggest setback you ever had. I want you to tell us what it was and how did you overcome it. Ross Bourne, we thank you so much for being here on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll be back right after this.
This report is brought to you by Odor Eaters. Odor Eaters is back with their fun yet stinky annual Rotten Sneaker Contest. All participants at this national contest are raising a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children from across the country competed at this year's contest, hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not, for a chance to win the national title and $2,500. But only one lucky pair of Rotten Sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to Hunter Ham from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find yet a new foul scent on every sniff. Rachel Hurst, PhD and expert of smell.
This year's participants really moved the bar up even higher. We all know kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids have a talent.
For more, visit odoreaters.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. enjoy the restaurant showcase, and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it!
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
These are the stories and strategies of America's greatest entrepreneurs. They are the legends of success. Once again, here's your host, John Resnick.
Ross Bourne is our guest today on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're glad you're with us. Ross, before we took a break, you had mentioned, you alluded to, there's a difference between management and leadership. Sounds good on the surface, but how do you differentiate the two, and what are the responsibilities of each?
The training that David and I needed to get from a lot of different sources over the years, over our 30 years together, taught us a little bit about what leadership is all about and what management is all about. You can actually be both a leader and a manager, but I'll give you a couple of for instances as to what we believe leaders are and what we believe managers are. Being a leader is setting a direction and developing a vision. And that's a responsibility that David and I have had to do in our business. We develop the vision for the business. That's our job. We are also the chief strategists in terms of realizing the vision. That's important, and that's what a leader does. We also are responsible for aligning the staff to make sure that we achieve the vision. Remember, it's all going back to the vision.
Absolutely.
And then we have to motivate and inspire others to achieve the vision. All going to the vision. The vision is a responsibility of the leadership. What is management? A manager is going to plan, is going to budget, organize, staff appropriately, control all the issues and make sure and control the outcomes and do problem solving. Now, sometimes you can have a leader that does that, but sometimes you don't. And sometimes a manager can do the leadership stuff too, and sometimes not. And where David and I have found our niche is more in the leadership, and we have hired some wonderful managers to manage our business on a day-to-day basis.
When Jack Welch was on our show, he said that when you become a manager, you stop working for you and you start to work for all those around you, and your job is to make them better. It's not about you any longer. Do you agree with it?
Actually, I use a similar phrase when it comes to good management. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about leadership now, but we are talking about management. A good manager has to operate by making others look good. That's the job of a good manager.
Right.
How do you make others look good? Conversely, the poor manager is one that tries to make him or herself look good.
Well put. Ross Bourne is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, springtime. More color, more light. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully with fresh new window coverings from Budget Blinds. We're your neighborhood experts, and we're backed by the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. Only Budget Blinds gives you style and service for every budget. We do it all for you. Bring the showroom right to your home. Then expertly design, measure, install, and back it up with the best warranty in the business. This spring, the more you buy, the more you save. up to 15% on select window coverings. Call your neighborhood experts and see for yourself. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now for a free consultation right at home. Get savings up to 15%. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS or go online to budgetblinds.com. Let the sun shine in and frame it beautifully. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're visiting today with Ross Born, co-CEO of the Just Born Candy Company. Again, I go back to one of your greatest challenges is how you get all stakeholders, employees, associates to buy in to this. Are they incentivized? Are they rewarded to buy in? Is there some type of a profit sharing to? It's one thing to feel good about belonging and having an identity and all working for the flag, so to speak. But are they rewarded? And are they rewarded for new ideas and contributions to the business?
Well, one of the keystone for the drivers to our business, after all is said and done, and we've outlined the vision, and we have our set of values, and we've created that culture, and we've identified a mission, and then we focus our resources on the mission.
Yes.
We celebrate success. And that has a very broad interpretation. Mm-hmm. We do celebrate success. We share, along with David and our top executives, we will be addressing all of our associates and telling them how things went this last year. And we have a big party. And we do that from morning to night and then into the next morning because we have a third shift. So we address five different groups. We have just about 600 associates, mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that they understand where they're at. We do share in the largesse of the business. Business is for them. It's not just for owners.
You're stewards.
Yes, we're good. We believe that in order to be good business people, we have to be good stewards of the business.
Absolutely. And that has to do with all around you. I've noticed that you also have some very long-term and loyal partnerships with some of your suppliers and strategic business partners. One of them was a former guest on here, Vic Hamill from J.C. Ehrlich. You've been with J.C. Ehrlich for 30 years or something like that.
Yes, we have.
But you believe in loyalty, and that is an important attribute. Is there ever come a time when loyalty is faced with a better deal?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you handle it?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't come as a surprise or a shock. We have to work very closely with our business partners. Mm-hmm. We believe that they're a key part of our organization. They're an extension of us.
Yes.
We're no better than our business partners. We can't be.
Absolutely.
Whether any of our suppliers for goods or services. So we're looking to work very, very closely with them. We will look to help them with their processes so that they can help us. There are times when a supplier doesn't keep up, and we need to work with them to see if they are willing to keep up.
We've talked a lot about your successes, and they've been wonderful. You had to have a failure or setback somewhere. What is the most significant setback? What happened? How'd you handle it and overcome it?
We've had a number of setbacks. You cannot go through the day without having some setbacks unless you're not challenging yourself enough.
Sure.
So we have challenges that I like to use the phrase around our place, we try to convert lemons into lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably use that phrase 5 or 6 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we have to stress to everyone, and this is an ongoing deal, is continuous improvement.
Right.
And we don't use it as a trite mantra. We talk about being better, being faster, and being smarter.
Sure.
And the things that we do are all geared toward that.
But some of the best laid plans fall out. So what's your best example? Where did you guys slip? What did you do that sounded like a great plan but just fell?
I'll give you a recent example.
Great.
We acquired the Goldenberg Candy Company about 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very famous in the region for making peanut chews. Eastern Seaboard. It was really Philadelphia and within about a 200-mile radius of Philly.
Sure.
And people out in the West really didn't know anything about a peanut chew, and they probably didn't even care about a peanut chew at that point. We made some assumptions. Here was a brand, had been around for 90 years. The company itself was 113 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought with our national prominence, with our Mike and Ike Hot Tamale and Peeps brands, with the entree that we had with all the major customers around the country, that we could go and market this brand, develop the brand nationally for peanut chew. We embarked on something that we failed with. We were unsuccessful.
Where did you miss the mark?
We learned a lot more about brand development, and branding has to be earned, and there's a way for developing a brand. It doesn't happen overnight. We failed to develop the brand to do some of the groundwork that was necessary. We didn't lay enough of the groundwork. A number of our customers said, wow, that's a really wonderful product.
But nobody knew what it was.
How is so-and-so doing with it?
Yeah.
Funny you should ask. They're asking the same question about you. How are you doing with it? So therefore, we really didn't do much with it. And when we did get it in on the strength of our other brands that we could ship at the same time and it would be easy and we made all kinds of good deals with our customers,
sure,
it laid an egg.
So just because you have great distribution set in place will not guarantee the success of a brand if a brand is not recognized.
Absolutely. You can advertise to your heart's content also for a brand, but there's an old saying that I use a lot.
Which is?
PR builds brands. Advertising sustains brands. Give you a quick example. Coca-Cola, one of the largest advertisers in the country. Everyone knows the brand Coca-Cola. Why is it that they advertise so heavily? To sustain the brand, to remind people that it's out there. It should be top of mind when you're choosing a cola drink. That's what Coca-Cola wants you to do.
Sure.
There are other products that have advertised heavily, they don't have a brand, and it's in one ear and out the other, or in one eye and out the other.
Sure.
It doesn't register because it doesn't have staying power. When you have a brand where people recognize and you have the PR, what's PR? It's the unsolicited stuff. It's having an op-ed person write about you. It's about having a TV newscast about your Peeps. It's having something going on with your Mike and Ike Hot Tamales or what have you, mm-hmm, that you do not solicit.
I thank you, Ross Bourne, for being our guest on Legends of Success.
Thanks, John, for having me.
You've been listening to Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After a flood of very positive economic news in recent months, there are a couple not-so-good reports out this morning. First, the nation's trade gap is the widest in more than 9 years. That gap widening to $57.6 billion in February, that's nearly $1 billion more than analysts had predicted. And the Commerce Department says it has the sixth straight month of widening deficits. It's the longest such streak since 2000. The Labor Department also saying this morning 242,000 Americans filed initial claims for jobless benefits last week, which is 24,000 more than the previous week and well above what economists expected.
Border security is Homeland Security.
Homeland Security Chief Kirstjen Nielsen discussing the president's authorization of National Guard troop deployment to the U.S.-Mexico border. And this is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now, 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
Facebook continues to handle a data mining scandal with some new information released yesterday. The social network now says British data firm Cambridge Analytica may have used the personal information of as many as 87 million Facebook users. An earlier estimate made by media outlets had placed the number of affected accounts at closer to 50 million. Meanwhile, Facebook's made some changes in the wake of the incident, effective Wednesday, adding a section explaining its policies, including that it does collect people's contact information if they choose to upload, sync, or import it to the service. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg will testify about the company's data practices before a House committee on April 11th.
It's a thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
And actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson's on the cover of the new Rolling Stone magazine, in which he says he may run for the White House. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty, even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
The U.S. now expected to put some new sanctions on Russian business leaders, as Reuters is reporting that some of those leaders very close to Russian President Vladimir Putin could be among those affected. They'll come in response to the allegations against Moscow, including the poisoning of an ex-Russian spy in England and the interference in the U.S. elections in 2016. The Trump administration already placing sanctions on 19 Russians and 5 organizations last month. The 50th anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr. was noted across the country yesterday. Bells rang at the National Civil Rights Museum and across Memphis just before 6 p.m. Central Time, which marked when Dr. King was killed 50 years earlier. Hundreds of people gathered outside the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, where he was assassinated while standing on a balcony. In Atlanta, Martin Luther King III attended a wreath-laying ceremony at the tomb of his father, and dozens of people gathered at the MLK Memorial in Washington to pay their respects to the civil rights icon. And Tiger Woods is set to play his first Masters in 3 years. The 42-year-old 14-time major champion back competing and contending this season after dealing with multiple back surgeries over the past few years. He'll be starting off in a short time this morning. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember,